Hi everyone, welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard. I'm Mark Warren. Our normal co-host, James, is not here this week. So I'm going to be sitting down and talking with Argonaut sports writer Jaden Barfus and Argonaut sports photographer Connor Anderson about sports, volleyball, football, and a little bit about the cross-country tournament that just happened. Looking at that cross-country tournament that happened just a few hours ago at the time of recording, it was the Big Sky Championship, and NAU topped both leaderboards, getting number one in the men's 8K and the women's 5K. The women did come in second in their race. Sophomore Maya Kobulinski finished in third place at a time of 16 minutes and 37 seconds, and junior Kelsey Swenson finished at 16 minutes and 41 seconds. The men didn't do as well. They came in fifth with no one coming in the top 10. Moving on to soccer, the Vandals women's team ended their season with a 2-1 win over Eastern Washington. Jaden, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a very gritty game. Idaho came out on the front foot. They scored in the first 4 minutes. And then 4 minutes later, a very nice shot by Eastern got it tight again. And then Idaho shot and shot and shot. They ended the game with 25 shots. Mm-hmm. That rarely happens. And then great cross by Peters and a great header by Jaden Hanks got us the win.
Yeah. Vandals ended their season 11-3-2, 6-2 in conference play. Reading over these notes, they had key wins over Montana, Portland State, Weber State, and Northern Colorado. What would you say the biggest win for this team was?
I would say that would be a tough question because the University of Montana, I think, is always a hard environment, and the way that they won it was a gritty performance. But I would say the best performance and best win would be the one here versus Portland State. Portland State was actually first place in the conference at this time. Idaho just lost it, and so you had no idea how their emotions were. You didn't know how they were, you know, as a team, and they really went out, and they kind of didn't even let Portland State into it until the end.
Yeah, they did have their three losses, Sacramento State, San Diego State, and Northern Arizona. That Northern Arizona game knocked them out of the top spot.
Yeah, I mean, that game, I can't say on air what I actually think of some of the calls in that game, but that was a very unfortunate loss for them. I mean, to go down at the very end of halftime, like, there's no time left. And, I mean, just, it changes the whole mood of that locker room of the game because you're going in 0-0, and then, boom, the ref says, nope, we're going to 1-0. You're down. That was the first time they've been down since that game versus San Diego State. And they didn't really respond well until, like, 20 minutes left. They started to finally get things going, and it was just too late.
Yeah, Maddie Lasher and Savannah Foster both had great seasons. Both had four goals. Would you say those were, like, the two main offensive components on this team?
Yeah, so Idaho has a whole lot of players that don't exactly show up well on the stat sheet as well, but Maddie Lasher is what I call a game changer. She comes in and she changes a game right away. Like she had like two touches versus Idaho State, and one of them was an assist. She just, whenever she has the ball at her feet, Idaho is dangerous, and Savannah is a key in a whole lot of ways. She's a really great offensive player. She's really good defensively, and she also is a corner. Like, whenever we have a corner, her and Jade Sprague are deadly. And so I believe two of her goals have been from corners. So,
Yeah, I was watching. I watched a lot of games this season, and whenever they were on the field, I was always whenever they had the ball, I was thinking the Vandals could put the ball in the net. Obviously, Someone you want to talk about this season, Kira Vitta. You had a great spotlight on her.
Yeah, I mean, Kira came here from Germany, not knowing what the college game is like, and she shocked everybody. She rattled off 10 straight shutouts, and she has 11 shutouts, which is tied right now for the most in NCAA right now. That's D1, D2, D3, everything. And so she has really came on, and she has been our backbone. Like, without her, I mean, the Weber State game, we probably lose. Mm-hmm. She had like 12 saves in that game alone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she is a big key to our team.
Looking at the team stats for this year, 21 goals, 12 goals allowed, 9, and there's 9 goal differential. This team did not win by a lot, but they won a lot.
Yeah, and which is going to really suit them well going into this conference tournament, because they had to grind out wins. I mean, there's a streak in consecutive where they won 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and that may not be pretty soccer, and it wasn't. It was bumpy, but they won the games, which if those are flipped, we're talking about a whole different year. And so those ones will really benefit them going into this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to this tournament. They will play the winner of Montana versus Portland State. And you said if they win that one, they go to the Big Sky tournament.
The championship, yep.
Championship, all right. So who do you think the Vandals would rather see, Montana or Portland State?
Okay, so if Idaho wants an easy win, Portland State. Because Portland State, Portland State is an okay team, but they are not a team that is. Montana is built for Idaho. They have the height, they have the speed, they have, and they defend like crazy. Like that game, if it wasn't for one screw up, that is 0-0 game. Mm-hmm. Like if it wasn't for Montana fouling, can't remember who it was, inside the box, and then Margo just nailing that PK, it would be 0-0. So I believe Idaho would actually want to face Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
might want Portland State, but I believe the team wants the University of Montana.
Mm-hmm. They want a tougher game, yep. A game that they can really sharpen themselves on.
Yeah, because NAU is definitely the team to beat.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think NAU is a great team. I mean, they do have all the pieces, but they don't have the offensive firepower we have. And if everything goes right and we play our brand of soccer, we should have no problems.
Mm-hmm. No, you put a keys to success to score more goals. I think something that James and I have talked about is the fact that the Vandals are really one mistake, one bad call away from losing games, and you saw that, yep, a few times this season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Perfect example of this versus Sac State.
Mm-hmm.
We're up the entire game until the last 5 minutes. We allowed 2 goals in 5 minutes. Both of those goals should have been called off because one of them was offsides and one of them was a handball. But, yeah, exactly the point is that in soccer, you want to score. Scoring one goal is good, but then that puts immense pressure on Maya, Rebecca, Cassidy, and Peters, Alyssa Peters, and Kira, because that means that they have to defend like crazy. And every soccer player makes mistakes, and one mistake should not make you go from a win to a tie, especially with the offensive firepower we have. We haven't really even touched on Jade Sprague and Margot and all the offensive firepower we have going forward, and so we should be scoring more goals.
Mm-hmm. You also put to play fast, defend well, and finish halves and games strong.
Yeah, because what I saw a lot is that we would always build up play slower than what we should. Like, we'd pass a lot more and not just go. There are opportunities to shoot it. We don't shoot it. We either dribble it or we pass it out. We have to play fast. We have to play quick. And then finishing halves really speak for themselves, because we allowed a goal at the dead of NAU. We allowed a goal against Sac State. We allowed 2 of them at the very end of the game. I mean, when fans should not be on their hands and knees wondering, oh no, is Idaho going to blow it? No, the game should be up by 2 goals at least. Like, my rule, and I played soccer for a long time, is that if you're up by 2 goals with 10 minutes, you can kind of sit back and kind of relax. Well, when you're up by 1 goal and then somebody either goes up for a header and scores and now it's 1-1. Well, that not only ties the game, but all of that defending is put in vain. And then the team morale drops, and that is how big losses come.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to add about the Big Sky Tournament or anything about this season?
Well, yeah, there's one thing that I really hope that the Idaho Vandals practice on grass before. Mm-hmm. Because we play on turf all season. And playing on turf and playing on grass is like immense difference. So I really hope Coach Clevenger either has them go a day early so they can just practice on grass, because we don't have a grass field. We mm-hmm. have turf outside, turf inside. And so the ball will skip, and the ball will, so if, and then here's my last thing, if Idaho plays their best soccer, we will be Big Sky champions by November 6th.
Mm-hmm. The tournament's happening November 2nd through 6th, I believe.
Yeah, 2nd to the 6th, and then Idaho gets a first-round buy-in, so they won't play till the 4th. And then if they win that one, they will play championship on the 6th.
And you're going to be covering those games?
Yes.
So you can read all the coverage at uiargonaut.com. Do you have a Twitter you want to plug?
It is Jaden_Barfus10.
All right, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Looking at volleyball, they had a 3-0 loss against Northern Colorado. Set 1, 25-15. Set 2, 25-21. Set 3, 25-16. Another disappointing set, something that James and I have talked about a lot. Just can't finish out sets. There's not a whole lot to say about these losses more than James and I already have. The Vandals did get a win, their first conference win over NAU, a 3-1 win. Set 1 was the one that NAU got, 25-21, and then UI won out the rest, 25-23, 25-23, and 25-17. Another lot of close sets, but the Vandals were actually able to close it out, which is something they're going to hope that they can do next year. But then moving on to MSU, it was the same story, couldn't close out sets. Set 1, 25-22, 25-16, and 25-22. That third set, the Vandals held the lead for a good bit. They were up like 19-11 at one point. And it was just watching them lose that slowly but surely was just so disappointing. They never really got the edge in that game. They were always real close up until the end, and they would lose it. The Vandals are going to be playing the University of Montana today when this comes out, October 29th at 1 p.m. in Mem Gym. UM is 13-9 and 6-4 in conference play. UI did lose to them 3-0 on September 24th, and it was not a close loss. They lost sets 2 and 3 handily. And then they play Weber State next Thursday, November 3rd at 5 p.m. At Weber State. Weber State is 13-7, 7-2 in conference play. UI played them October 8th. They lost 3-1. Idaho played competitively, but they just couldn't close out sets, which is the story of this year. Looking at football, the Vandals beat Portland State 56-21. Both teams started out hot. They scored touchdowns on their first two drives. After that, the Vandals defense kicked it into the gear, only allowing one touchdown. The defense did get 3 interceptions, forcing a lot of turnovers. Mervin Kenyon, Tommy McCormick, and Isaiah King all grabbed one from the Portland State offense. They also forced a lot of pressure. There were 4 sacks. Favai Favai and Nate DeGraw both got 1, and Leo Tomba got 2. Portland State was 5-for-13 on third downs, and the Vandal defense only allowed 333 yards. Connor, what did you see? You were there.
I saw a lot of keeping Portland State back. They would be forced to do third down a lot, mm-hmm. and very beginning defense kind of lacking. They really let a lot of things slip that they hadn't in previous games. Even Coach Eck, he talked about that later on in the press conference. He said D defense, they kind of stepped back because they expected it to be an easy game because we beat them last year, which that's huge for us last year being a team overall, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, no, it was another slow start from the Vandals defense, and it was very much so a trap game going in between Montana and Sac State, two tough teams. This Portland State game, we beat them with Petrino last year. You know, it makes sense them going in thinking this was going to be easy.
Yeah, but I think that really kind of softened them up because mm-hmm. they just came off of arguably one of the hardest games they had this season with Montana. And then they have another hard game coming up this mm-hmm. weekend, or I guess today.
Today, yeah.
Against Sacramento State, who is still undefeated in conference, if I remember correctly.
Undefeated fully.
Oh,
they have
fully?
Not had a single loss, wow. And we're going to talk about them a little later. Not only did the defense play well after those first two those first two touchdowns, but the offense, 56 points, is not an easy one to score. Giovanni McCoy played well, as always. I believe he had 20 rushing yards, but he also went 10 for 19 passing, 248 yards with four passing touchdowns. He also had a reception on a trick play, got mm-hmm. a touchdown on that.
I will say, out of those 20 rushing yards, most of them were from one play where mm-hmm. we got forced at fourth down, and I think it was fourth and I think over 10 yards.
It was fourth and 10 late in the second quarter, almost going into halftime.
It was right before halftime, mm-hmm. I remember this.
The Vandals were looking to tie it up. It was 14-21 at that 21-14 at that point, and Eck went for it, and McCoy scrambled for 10 yards.
I remember watching that play unfold because it looked like a pass play. Mm-hmm. Giovanni was looking for everyone.
Yeah.
He couldn't find anyone to pass the ball to, so he just ran for it. I watched him jump, not legs first, but jump fully head first for the first down and barely make it. It was a really amazing play on his part.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about McCoy is he's obviously like a great rusher, but he always keeps his eyes downfield. He's always looking for that big play, but when he's not able to get it, he's able to scramble out of the pocket. A lot of those big plays come from Jermaine Jackson. Four receptions, 132 yards, two touchdowns with, I believe, 28 rushing yards, played another stellar game.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Cummings also played a big part in the passing game, two receptions for 62 yards and a touchdown. He's a great running back, great out of the backfield and passing also.
For sure.
Hayden Hatton, a little bit slower than the Montana game, three receptions for 47 yards and a touchdown. But that touchdown,
it was insane to watch.
It was like Odell Beckham one-handed in the end zone.
I have a picture because I got it. His toe about 3 inches in the line after he caught the ball. It was perfect. And then I remember there being the coach for Portland State was trying to say that wasn't a touchdown, but mm-hmm. it got kept. It was an insane one-hand catch touchdown by Hatton.
No, he is unreal. His first collegiate catch was an ESPN top 10 play.
Wow.
He plays out of his mind, and he's just – McCoy can throw him 50-50 balls, and he's going to come down with them. Mm-hmm. The run game also played a huge part, obviously. Anthony Woods had over 100 yards, which is great. 15 attempts for 141 yards and two touchdowns. Averaged 9.3 yards per carry. That is an insane stat. Andre Carter also had one huge run, but he had five attempts for 95 yards, an 83-yard run, and he ran through like six people, almost ran through you.
No, I didn't get almost run down by him. I almost got run down by the sideline officiant. He nearly hit me because he ended up out of the lines where he usually runs, so I thought it was okay. Then nearly got hit by a player on the sideline. Then nearly a coach on the sideline as well. I had to jump back about a foot or two to avoid getting hit by them, but it was worth it for some of the photos that I got, for sure.
Yeah, you got some really good photos. You can see them on the Vandal Nation on Instagram. Always got to plug it.
Yep.
I was watching that play a little earlier today, like trying to get certain stats from it, and I saw you jump back as the ref was running down the field.
Yeah, because I had my camera fully up to my eye, so I couldn't see it coming. And then suddenly I saw him in my frame. I'm like, oh, no, I need to jump back because he's starting to kind of come mm-hmm. towards me out of his usual running spot. So
no, being on that field is not safe. Those sidelines are not as big as they look like they are.
No, they are not, because sometimes you'll have to be walking in between players or mm-hmm. coaches or cheerleaders, and you will be within a yard of the sideline. You will have... Mm-hmm. players almost take you out the knee, which is very bad and very scary.
Yeah, no, Roschon Johnson, also the big man in the backfield. He's like 6'2", 240. I was looking at his size. Not that many yards, but 2 touchdowns. Played really well. Was the guy that they could give it to in the red zone. Mm-hmm. With this win, the Vandals rise to 23 in the coaches poll and 14 in the stats performed ranking. This was just like a fun game to watch.
Oh, it was so much fun. I was walking around the field the whole time. One of my TAs for my class, he's the kicker, Logan Prescott, amazing person. He said hi to me when I was walking by the sideline. I would walk underneath the student section, and some of the stuff that you hear from our students, first of all, you can't repeat mm-hmm. on air no. at all. But it's some of the funniest stuff you could hear. It was a struggle to keep a straight face, for sure.
I believe it was someone at BSU that said, "Stay nasty and inebriated, Vandal fans."
Yep, and that is very
and they
true.
Do.
They really do. That's why we're called the Vandalizers.
That student section made a huge... I wasn't at the game, but was it loud? I think I saw 7,000 people.
Oh, it was insanely loud in that entire stadium. Mm-hmm. Both sides were packed. It's probably the most packed I've ever seen the Kibbe Dome. Mm-hmm. It was insane, but it was so good to see that. And everyone was also wearing black. Because
they blacked it out.
Yeah, we were trying to black it out. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. We have a fan base back, and everyone's on our side. It's mm-hmm. it's so nice.
Something that James and I consistently harp on, and I don't think it can be overstated, how much energy Eck has brought back to this campus. I see him walking around. I am energetic to be a Vandals fan now.
Yeah, for sure. It's like last year, I mean, I went to our homecoming game where we played Portland mm-hmm. State last year, and we won.
And by the way, let's just clarify this. Portland is not a state.
Portland is for sure not a state. I have family who lives there. Mm-hmm. It is not a state. But, I mean, I went to that homecoming game. I left, I think it was third quarter because
we
were ahead. Mm-hmm. I kind of expected us to try and keep ahead. We actually ended up nearly losing.
Yeah.
It was very close at the end.
They almost dropped the ball in the fourth quarter in that one.
Yeah, and that at that point, I just kind of like lost all interest in our football team. Mm-hmm. But this year with our new coach and just looking at his stats from previous coaching mm-hmm. experience, it's insane. And then what he's done for us so far this year is just so much better. I love it.
Yeah, no, Eck, I remember I was excited because when he was hired, I was on Twitter and I saw a trick play that he like had drawn up. And the Vandals haven't run too many of those, but that Javonny McCoy touchdown was so fun to watch because he, like, made two guys miss, too. It wasn't just, like, a simple catch in the end zone. He caught it 14 yards out, and he ran his way in.
Wow.
You know, I think we're going to see more of that against Sac State. If you want to beat Sac State, you kind
of
have to.
I really hope we do see more of that because the other game that we won last year as well, mm-hmm. ISU, that was a very interesting game to go and see. I saw it in person. In Holt Arena, and that was both my dad and I. He went there. We both said it was like watching two horrible high school football mm-hmm. teams go up against each other.
We did beat another team last year. Our opener, we beat a team I can't remember. It's like a Canadian team.
Oh,
we beat
I do
them 68
that.
To nothing.
Yes, I do remember that now.
I think that if we played them this year, we'd put 100 up on them.
Yeah, probably.
With that, I think we'd put 100 on them.
For sure. No, but during that ISU game, I remember watching a punt from our team, and I remember watching it go off the sidelines and nearly hit our president, mm-hmm. actually, of the college. It was very interesting.
And the fact that that is the thing you remember perfectly sums up Petrino's run here as
for sure. It really does sum it up.
As the Vandals head coach, looking forward to today, 6 o'clock, we're playing Sac State, number 2 ranked team in the nation, Sacramento State. Not going to be an easy one for the Vandals.
Nope. Really wish I was there taking photos, though, because that would be so much fun. But, again, it's in Sacramento.
Couldn't swing the 18-hour road trip this
nope.
time.
We really
Sac
couldn't.
State is coming in 7-0, 4-0 in conference play. Coming in it from an overtime loss against Montana, 31-24. They were down 17-3 going into the fourth quarter. Outscored Montana 17-7 in the fourth and then finished the game up in overtime. The Vandals pretty handily beat Montana. They should have won by 2 touchdowns. They won by 1. It was 30-23 at the end.
I even talked to Logan Prescott. He said, we just kind of let him get that one because mm-hmm. we knew we were going to win. We would get the ball back.
Yeah,
it really didn't matter.
You know, you never want to let up a touchdown, but that's what happens. Now, I don't want to say Sacramento State is not a good team. They very clearly are. I don't think this game's unwinnable for the Vandals. Looking at the teams that Sac State has beaten, Montana was their first challenge,
mm-hmm.
and they beat Montana last week. Now they have to come and play this Vandals team. And I cannot imagine they are coming in fully ready to play this Vandals team after Montana.
I really don't think so, because I haven't seen any reports, but have they gotten, like, any injuries on their team? Because I know currently Vandals, we had a few early on in the season, mm-hmm. but we haven't really had any in the past week or two.
No, the Vandals are a healthy team. I don't know about Sac State, but the Vandals are a healthy team, and that is what's leading them to win, you know.
We're coming off of a really easy game, so mm-hmm. we're probably going in at the best we possibly could, I hope.
Yeah, and no, we're coming in with a lot of momentum. Got the little Brown Stein back, beat Portland State. We are undefeated in conference play. You know, they have some momentum, right? They're undefeated. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose their first two like we did. But they're coming in from a tough win over Montana. Now they have to – they're at home. They're at home for them. Mm-hmm. But they have to face this Vandals team, which is something that I've said a lot. I don't want to face this Vandals team.
I don't either. It's definitely a completely different Vandals team than it was last mm-hmm. year, and it is good to see that. But trying to face them, it's scary almost.
Yeah, no, this is a – it's going to be a good game, and this is probably going to be a game that decides who's the number two seed in the Big Sky and – who makes the playoffs. If the Vandals beat them, I would like to see what that happens in the rankings, because
I would as well.
You know, right now they're 14 in the stats performed poll, and I think they jump up to inside the top 10. You know, because they're number two team in the nation, number two team in the Big Sky. Montana State is not ranked higher nationally than Sac State, but they are the number one seed in the Big Sky. I think the keys to victory is Vandals keep it close in the first half and for close sure. it out in the second, something that they've done all season.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go in. If they go in down, they need to be down by one score at the most.
That's what I was going to say, is one score, maybe one score and a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They can't really go in that much down, because they don't really have that much room to, I guess, try and make up a lot of space.
No, you
but
don't
our Vandals team... definitely a second half team.
Yeah, no, they are a team that will they'll keep you close in the first, and then that second half comes around and the defense goes crazy, the offense goes crazy.
Yes.
Jermaine Jackson, Hayden Hatton, Connor Whitney, Anthony Woods. I feel like there are so many weapons on this team.
We have so many insane people on the team this year.
I think that this Vandals team is going to. I'm going to predict the Vandals to win this one, because I always do. I'm a bit of a homer, you know. I'm not supposed to be biased, but this is called the Vandal scoreboard. I like the Vandals. But it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be 35-31. I think the Vandals are going to get four more points.
I think it's going to be really close. I don't think that far, though. I think it's going to be a field goal difference. It might mm-hmm. be literally a last-minute field goal by either team. So I'm going to go... I'm not going to say that high of a score. I'm honestly going to say 21-24.
You think it's
going
to be a defensive battle?
I think it's going to be very defensive, because our team, yes, we're really good at offense, mm-hmm. but our defense is insane if they get going, and I really hope they do. But I honestly think it's going to be a really low-scoring game, so 21-24 mm-hmm. for Vandals at least.
Yeah, obviously I've talked about the offense. The defense has Favai Favai and Leo Tomba and Nate DeGraw and Tommy McCormick and so many other great players. Paul Mawala, yeah, something you just mouthed to me instead of saying. You have a microphone.
Well, yeah,
you know,
but
that?
I wanted to make sure, because I remember him on defense, mm-hmm. but I don't want to accidentally say a name that is actually on offense, because that could be a problem.
What I do is I just say anything I want, and I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah. No, but if I remember correctly, we have somebody on defense who actually came from Notre Dame as well.
Yeah, that is Paul Mawala.
Yeah.
He is a Notre Dame transfer.
And, I mean, I watched him get an interception in one game. It was mm-hmm. amazing. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I think it's going to be a very heavy defensive game going to Sac State.
He's a great player. The Vandals, one thing that they've been doing well recently, and they'll have to continue to do, they're going into enemy territory, limit the false starts. They didn't do it great in the first few games. They've turned it around.
For sure.
Making sure that the Vandals don't beat themselves. If the Vandals are going to lose, I think it's because Sac State's going to beat the Vandals. The Vandals are not going to beat the Vandals.
No.
Some cool stats that I want to share I saw on Twitter the other day. The Vandals have an FCS low of a 3% turnover rate on possessions. They're only turning the ball over 3% on their possessions. They also average 36 minutes and 47 seconds per game, time of possession, and also an FCS high. That's why the Vandals are winning. They
For sure.
have the ball in offense, and they don't give it away.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy to score points when you have the ball, and it is easy to not let your defense score points when they're not on the field.
Yeah. And then another insane stat I remember, It's been since 1994 where the Vandals have gone 4-0 in conference games. My sister, who is graduating from graduate school, was still 3 years off being born then. Coach Eck even said he was still playing high school football when we reached that point. That tells you how insane it is for us to go 4-0 this year.
Yeah, no, this Vandals team has not been good for a long time, and they are finally good, and it is so fun to see.
For sure.
I think that's all the thoughts that I have. Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's really it.
Thanks so much for joining us. Do you have any Instagram, Twitter, anything you want to plug?
Follow me on Canderson Photography on Instagram, Anderson.
Okay, I wanted to make sure you spelled it out, not just Canderson. He's got some great photos. You can also see his photos on the Vandal Nation. You can follow along at the Vandal Nation on Twitter, at the Vandal Nation on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. I have been Mark Warren. You can follow me on Twitter at MarkWarren1832. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.